Let us pray. God of grace, surely you are in this place. Open the eyes and ears of our hearts. As we breathe in and out, you are around and within us. Open the depths of our souls. May we be present to you, who are so infinitely present for us. Amen. A reading from Jeremiah. That's right. The time is coming when I will make a brand new covenant with Israel and Judah. It won't be a repeat of the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant even though I did my part as their master. God's decree. This is the brand new covenant I will make with Israel when the time comes. I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God, and they will be my people. They will no longer go around setting up schools to teach each other about God. They'll know me firsthand, the dull and the bright, the smart and the slow. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. I'll forget they ever sinned. The Word of Life. A reading from Acts. So Paul took his stand in the open space at the Areopagus and laid it out for them. It's plain to see that you Athenians take your religion seriously. When I arrived here the other day, I was fascinated with all the shrines I came across. And then I found one inscribed, "To the God Nobody Knows." I'm here to introduce you to this God so you can worship intelligently and know who you're dealing with. The God who made the world and everything in it. This master of sky and land doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him as if he couldn't take care of himself. He makes the creatures. The creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable with plenty of time and space for living so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's near. We live and move in him and can't get away from him. One of your poets said it well. We're the God created. The Word of God for the people of God.
The first time I worshipped here several years ago, I was amazed at Steve's ability to speak the gospel, not read it. This morning, I in no way, shape, or form think that I could be like him and tell a whole gospel story. So I picked the gospel story that had one verse so that I could practice being like him. Because I want to be like him when I grow up. It's one of Jesus' parables. If you don't know what the word parable means, it's simply a story. And much like what I talked about in my children's story, children's time, Jesus was really good at noticing things along the way. He didn't a lot. So when he noticed things, he often just put them in one little sentence or a couple of sentences. Teachings, we call them parables. And the one today is about something he noticed. Probably when he was going about his regular business, not looking necessarily for anything. And all of a sudden, he noticed a woman, perhaps out in front of her house, preparing some bread and kneading that bread. And he said, "The kingdom of God is like a woman who mixes that yeast into the bread until it takes over the whole and it rises." As simple as that. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. My parents were amazing people who introduced my three siblings and me to many different kinds of people from many different countries, many different religions. I'm thankful for that foundation because it has helped me, I think, be open to people of all different backgrounds and walks of life. But this morning, I want to tell you about one particular woman who they allowed to be part of my life. And several weeks ago, some of you may have been here when I shared during the prayer time that she had died. I want to tell you the rest of the story now because some of you asked that morning. I want to tell you the rest of the story about a woman named Dina Rosenberg Jacobson, who died on June 12th at the age of 92. Dina, a little summary first. Dina helped me. As an Orthodox Jew, Dina helped me become a better Christian. That's really the story I want to tell you today, about how that happened in my life. Dina Rosenberg was born in a small Polish town, a farming town, to Orthodox Jewish parents. She had a family of siblings, and all was well in her life until she was 17. But up until that point, she had been raised by a family such as this. Her father, an Orthodox Jew, in a country with mostly Catholic Christians, would welcome them into his house as they returned home from church on a Sunday morning. People liked to go to the Rosenberg home, Jewish or Christian, in the 1920s and the 1930s. But when Dina was 17 years old, the world started tilting in a direction that, unfortunately, it is still tilting in some parts of the world. And she was taken away. Her family was taken away. Her parents and her siblings were all taken away by the Nazis. And as far as she knows, her whole family was killed. But one brother and herself. She spent 4 years in Auschwitz and lived, obviously, so that I could tell the story later. She had relatives in Elmira, New York, where I was born and raised, and because of that connection, she was able to come to the United States and start a new life. In a displaced persons camp in Germany, she met her husband, Kalman, and they gave birth to their first child in that displaced persons camp, Connie. They came across the waters in a boat with their baby and set up a new life in Elmira. One would hope that that might have been the end of her sorrow, but it was not. Dina lived a life I don't even know that Job compared to her life. She raised her daughter and had a second child. The second child was born with Down syndrome. That was a very difficult thing to deal with in the early 1950s when he was born. The doctor said, you can't ever have any more children. This might happen to you again. Again, we know better now, but that's what she was told. Dina was not a woman to be told anything, so she had another child. She had a baby girl named Sarah, and it was 11 years later, when I was 11 years old, that I met Sarah. And we were classmates together, both shy. People don't believe that about me, but I really was. Both shy 11-year-olds who bonded with each other one summer before our sixth grade. And that's where my life intersected the life of Dina Jacobson. I ate in their house, simple meals. Jake was a glass man, so they had very little income. For those who don't know, survivors of the Holocaust did have income from the German government, so they had that little bit of income as well. But they raised these three children on very, very little money, and yet they welcomed not only another body to be fed, but they welcomed a Christian. Dina did not trust Christians. She was a friend of my mother's as well, and she flat out told my mother, "I don't trust you." Dina once told me, "I don't trust you." As a young woman, she said that. But interestingly, I never doubted that she loved me. She could say that to me, and I never doubted that she loved me, because much like her father before her, who had died, she was able to welcome people of all kinds of backgrounds into her home. It wasn't until I was 16 that I learned something more profound about suffering and about what Dina had experienced. I stood at the top of Scott Avenue in Elmira, New York, looking down on the floodwaters of the Chemung River. It was 1972, and Agnes had torn apart that part of the country. And she stood there with her house at the very end of the road and said, "Why me? Why me?" I was 16. I'll never forget that moment. Why her? The house was flooded, basement up to the second floor. Her husband's shop burned to the ground. They had to move to a new one. Time and again, things happened in this woman's life. And yet, she continued to love anyone and everyone who came into her sphere and wanted to be loved by her. And the reality is, if you came into her sphere, you wanted to be loved by her, because she had this all-embracing aura about her. She had bladder cancer later on, survived through that. And then the hardest thing, in spite of all those things I just told you, the hardest thing that ever happened to her, she said, was when her son died at age 54. It was very hard for her when he was young to actually allow him to move into a group home and not take full responsibility for his life. But it was devastating to her when he died. That was 5 or 6 years ago. Her husband predeceased her by about 10 years. And the last few years of her life, she continued to love unconditionally those who wanted to be loved. Now, don't get me wrong. She was quick to say if she ever were to run into Hitler, she would tear him to pieces. You know, perfect love does not preclude that kind of thinking when it is warranted. But if you wanted to come into that love, you were welcomed into that love. An Orthodox Jewish woman who had experienced all those things I just told you about showed me how to be a better Christian. Because being a Christian is about that unconditional love that she was able to demonstrate. As we heard in the scripture this morning in Jeremiah, it's not about what the laws say out there, the Torah and, you know, all those things that we fight about, how they're interpreted. It's about writing those lessons of love on your heart. It's not about the sacrifices we make, the burnt offerings we make, it's about how we incorporate that love and how we exhibit it in spite of what may be happening in our lives. We all have those stories. Hopefully not as traumatic as what I've just described, but we all have things that could stop us from loving. But our God of love, the love which was exhibited in Jesus Christ, as we understand him, was about embodying that. What Dina did throughout her life, not until probably I was in college, so maybe 6 or 7 years after I met her, is she began talking to students, much the age of the young people with us today. She spoke to thousands of students over the course of decades about what happened to her. And they fell in love with her because she loved them. At her 90th birthday, there were hundreds of people there, literally, at the synagogue. And they all got up and talked about how much she meant to them and how much they believed they meant to her because she made every single one of us feel special. Well, when I got up and spoke, I said, I'm really disappointed here because I thought she loved me the most. Can you imagine a world in which we all felt like we were loved the most? Wouldn't that be a much finer world to live in? We can help that happen. Remember stories about people like Dina. Remember Dina's story and write those words of love upon your heart and go out there and make everybody who cares about being in your circle feel like they're the most important person in your life right then. You know, 5 minutes later when you're with somebody else, they may be the most important person in your life. Imagine a world in which we all could do that. Does that seem like a world that would be a pretty good place in which to live? Dina infected the world with her love, much like a woman infects the dough with the yeast. And almost unintentionally, because she didn't think this through, she just was it, she grew that bread, that love, all over the world. These are her hands. As she was teaching me to bake a particular kind of pastry that she made literally hundreds of thousands. This was 2 years ago. As she started showing me, she said, this is how my mother taught me. Her mother, I didn't even choose the hymn or the motherless child. She felt like a motherless child so much. She was, and she was far away from home. But she has taught us the love that her mother passed down to her through what she has shared with us. And for her, for so many of us who knew her, her baking was a huge, huge part of connecting to that mother that she had not seen since she was 17 years old. That's the rest of the story. I could go on for another 2 hours. I'm a Baptist preacher. I could probably go on for another 5 hours. But I wanted to share that with you, and I thank you for letting me share it with you. We will remember the people who teach us that kind of love that is written on our hearts. I will remember Dina Rosenberg Jacobson. Will you say her name with me and say, we will remember Dina Rosenberg Jacobson. Amen.